Good morning to all of our dedicated listeners and learners. We feel truly privileged to be able to provide a number of different shiurim, lectures, learning experiences to benefit men, women, children of all ages, all backgrounds, all levels of affiliation. We have the unique opportunity to teach HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, to bring out the relevant and contemporary messages which shape and alter our everyday lives. But in order to continue to do this, we need your help. We need your support. We are running a very special raffle. Only 365 tickets to be sold with a grand prize of $15,000 or a brand new car. If you are a member of the shul, a dedicated learner or a listener of the Institute for Jewish Continuity, the IJC, if you are someone who frequents our website or our podcast, here is your opportunity to partner with us to continue in the proliferation of our shiurim, our lectures, and our beautiful messages of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Please visit www.suburbanorthodox.org, click on the banner that says raffle, and purchase your tickets today. Thank you so much for partnering with us. Thank you so much for being a part of our beautiful learning revolution. Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to grow together, and Amir Tashem may we be zoche to do so for many years to come. All right, Shabbosai, good morning. We have a beautiful daf ahead of us today. Our shiur this morning is dedicated by the Ziffer family on the occasion of the yahrzeit of Larry's father, Pinchas ben Yosef Elimelech, zichron livracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Shem will have an aliyah and the family in Nechama. Thank you for the sponsorship. All right, Shabbosai, let's begin. So we have a lot to do today. We left off. Where did we leave off? Let's see. Where did we leave off yesterday? Mesamech Tesmud Beis. Yeah. All right. Supposed to say. So let's pick up with where?
Middle of the
Machlokes. Middle of the Machlokes. That's most of Shas. Yeah, that's not very helpful. All right, so we'll say, let's actually pick up the Rabbi Yehuda min Avila Nafkaleg. So we'll say it's six lines up from the bottom. So the Gemara says the Rabbi Yehuda min Avila Nafkaleg. So Rabbi Yehuda ultimately again learns out this particular Shita from the Vela. So we'll say, remember again, just to reorient ourselves a bit, we saw the Machlokes in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Namely, if a person goes ahead and does Malika on an oath, and it turns out that it's a Trefa. So obviously, again, the carbon is invalid, that's obvious, but the shayla is, does the carcass of the bird, does the bird ultimately convey tumah? So Rabbi Meir says it does not, Rabbi Yehuda says it does. Rabbi Meir learned it out from a Kal v'chomer. Now we're focusing on Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda midavela nafkaleg. So Rabbi Yehuda learns out from the vela. This sign, Rabbi Yehuda omer, yochol tehin nevelas of tamei mitamei begadim abeis habliya. I might have thought that the nevela of a bird has the ability to go ahead and convey tumah beis habliya. Both again, remember, tumah beis habliya means that the way the bird carcass conveys tumah is how? Through ingestion. So the Gemara says, tamulo mar nevela utrefa lo yochal. Therefore, both say the pasuk says that nevela and the trefa you shall not eat. Mishe isuro mishum baltochal nevela. Ultimately, again, the iser is when it's because of nevela. Yotzazu she'ein isuro mishum baltochal nevela. Ela mishum baltochal tame. So we'll say ultimately, again, remember, so Rabbi Yehuda is talking about over here the issue of an avela of tame. Let's say again, I have a bird that is of a non-kosher species. So Rabbi Yehuda says, how do I know that halacha lemaisa, although it's obviously not kosher, right? If you ingest it, it does not convey tuma. He ultimately quotes the pasuk of the velo trefa lo yochal. You're not allowed to eat an avela trefa. That prohibition teaches me I can't eat a bird that is usser because it's an avela or a trefa. This comes to exclude what? A case where the bird is already usser. Why? Because it's of a non-kosher species. That teaches me that what? That if it's already usser because it's a non-kosher species, then it does not convey tumas nevela. So the Gemara says, Ela mishu batoch otame, top of ayin, hai nami tefoklei. But you can also learn this out from that. Rashi points out over here, hai nami tefoklei, chelev tmeya, typically nami dimitama. So we'll say ultimately again, what about the chilev of an of tame, or what about the chilev of a behemoth meah? So this halacha ultimately again of the chilev of a behemoth meah that it also conveys to tuma. We can learn that out from as follows: me the chilev nevela. So we'll say the pasuk says chilev nevela, you're not allowed to eat mishi isura mishum batocha chilev nevela. So when do we say that that chilev is aser? That's when dafka, you're not allowed to eat it because it's part of a nevela. But I will say, if an animal was already usher, why? Because halacha lemaisa, it was what? It was part of a non-kosher animal, then it does not become usher because of chelev. So we'll say, what you begin to see is a very interesting theme, which is that some of the isurim, or some of the states of being that we're discussing, are only a function if the animal wasn't previously prohibited. So for example, what Rabbi Huda is suggesting is as follows. When does the Torah ultimately teach me that an animal has a status of nevela and therefore conveys tumah? That's only when the animal was permitted beforehand and then becomes a nevela. But if the animal was already non-kosher beforehand, the tumas nevela does not devolve upon it. Similarly, if an animal dies, so there is an iser to go ahead and eat the chelev of a nevela. Right? When is that Isser created? When there was no previous Isser in existence. In other words, before the animal was mutter, now it died, then the chelev becomes Asser. But if the chelev was already Asser because ultimately the animal is a behemoth tmeya, then the prohibition upon the chelev will not devolve upon it. So the Gemara says, but one second, we need this pasuk by Trefa to teach me as follows. To ultimately teach me that what? That the chelev of a chaya kshira is not mitama. Right? The Rabbah said the chelev, which means the fats of a chaya kshira, remember chaya means a non-domesticated animal, are ultimately, again, does not convey tuma. To which the Gemara says, Sakadait Hamina, I would have thought, me shachal ba'asar ubisara mutter. I might have thought as follows. We'll say that when do we say that ultimately again the chilev is mitana? I would have thought that's a case of where the chilev is asr, but the meat, the flesh of the animal is mutter. Yotza sozu shechelba ubisara mutter. Ultimately again, I would have thought that perhaps it comes to exclude a case of where both the chilev and the meat are mutter. As Rabbi will say, the halacha is that by a chaya, a non-domesticated animal, so again, we're talking about of a kosher species, halacha lemaisa, the chelev is permitted as well. So I might have thought as follows. I might have thought that halacha lemaisa, so this comes to exclude a case of where the chelev and the basar is mutter. Kamashulam, that is not the case. Amarle, maishna tmeya. So we'll say, what's the difference over here by behemoth tmeya? De'ein chalba chaluk mi busara. Ultimately, again, we'll say, by a behemoth tmeya, so there is no difference between the chelev and the flesh. All of it is asr. Chaya nami ein chalba chaluk mi busara. So we'll say, interestingly enough, there is a very strong common denominator between chaya and behemoth tmeya. What's the common denominator, we'll say? That by behemoth tmeya, both the basar as well as the chelev are both asr. By chaya also, both the chelev and the basar are both mutter. So the Gemara says, va'od haksiv va'acholo sochluo. Furthermore, I will say the pasuk says that you are not permitted to eat it. This is talking about by chelev nevela and chelev trefa. Ela amar Abaye, rather Abaye says, trefa lugufei itztrich. Rather Abaye says that in reality, I need the phrase trefa, ultimately, again, to teach me the core halacha by trefer. Now, Bossi, look at Rashi for just a moment. It's Rashi right across in Tosos v'chad. Trefer l'gufei etzrich l'taher chelev shemesa. So we'll say it's coming to teach me that the chelev of a trefer which died does not convey tumah. Uli olam trefer chaya. And we'll say, now this is not particularly a trefa that's a chaya, or I should say a chaya that is a trefa. So let's see the Gemara. So Abaye says, in reality, trefa, we'll say, is necessary to teach you which case, that the halacha is that if you have a chaya which is a trefa, so ultimately again the animal dies, the chelev does not convey tuma. Shalot tomar, don't say, Hoyel utmeya asura mechayim. So we'll say, just like you have a behemoth tmeya, and that behemoth tmeya is asur when the animal is alive. So we'll say that this is about a non-kosher animal. So the non-kosher animal, the status is that even when it's alive, obviously it's asur. Utreifa asura mechayim, and Abba said treifa is also asura while the animal is alive. Remember again, treifa is an animal which has a condition which is going to cause its quote unquote imminent demise. The definition of imminent is subject to a lot of machlokes, but in any event, will cause its imminent demise. So treifa is also asura while the animal is alive. Mat mea chel batame, supposed to say just like by behemoth mea, ultimately again the chelev conveys tuma. Af treifa chel batame. So I'm going to thought also that the chilev of a treifa also conveys tuma. Ihachi, if that's the case, hai nami miboi shalot tomar. So we'll say then this limud would be necessary for as follows: shalot tomar, don't say hodel va'ov tame aser ba'achila. So we'll say because otherwise you'd be tempted to say the following: an ov tame, which is a bird, a non-kosher bird, which is aser ba'achila, utreifa aser ba'achila, and I will say treifa is also aser ba'achila. Ma'of tame eino metame. So I would say, just as a non bird from a non kosher species does not convey tuma, af treifa eino metama. So too, ultimately, again, a treifa also does not convey tuma. Vo'od, furthermore, mi'ika lemelev treifa mitmea. But say, can you really learn out the halachos of treifa ultimately from tamea? Tamea lo haisala shasa kosher. But say, if an animal is a behema tamea, it never had a permitted state. On the flip side, tamea lo haisala shasa kosher, treifa haisala shasa kosher. But see, on the other hand, the behema that's a treifa did have a time in which that halacha lemaisa it was okay. And I was supposed to remember, the behema treifa is an animal from a kosher species that now has this particular condition that's going to lead to its imminent demise. V'chiteima treifa mibeten ma'ika lemivar. But we'll say there is a case ultimately again of a treifa mibeten, which means what? That the animal was a treifa already in utero. So to which the Gemara says, even in that case, the mina miha ika, the species of animal, still I will say ultimately again can be kosher, as opposed to the behemoth tmeo, where ultimately again the species is not kosher. By the treif, you could have this case where the species are kosher. Ela amar Rava. Rather, I will say Rava says, so remember, just trying to interpret the pasuk of Rabbi Huda. I will say, you can remember, all of this goes back to the Kormach Logos, Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir, that what happens if you do Malika? What happens if you do Malika on a bird that turns out to be a treifa? So does the bird convey tuma or not? Rabbi Huda says yes. Rabbi Meir says no. Rabbi Meir explained his shita through a Kal Vachomer. We're trying to figure out the shita of Rabbi Huda. Ela amar Rava. Rather, Rava says as follows. HaTorah Amra. The Torah says as follows. Yavo Isra Nevela V'yachal Al Isra Chelev. The Isra Nevela can come and devolve upon an Isra Chelev, which I will say means what? Means that Halacha L'maisa, if you have something that is already aser b'toras chelef, it's a forbidden fat, when the animal dies, another iser of nevela can devolve upon that chelef. However, yavo iser treifa, so, I'm sorry, v'yachal iser chelef, yavo iser treifa v'yachal al iser chelef. Similarly, the iser of treifa can also go ahead and devolve upon the chelef. So we'll say the novelty over here is that when the animal dies, or when the animal is a treifa, so ultimately, again, the additional iser of nevela or treifa can devolve upon the chelev itself. Utsrichi. And I will say, it is necessary to teach me both of these halachos. Why? Diashu in a nevela, if the Torah would have just taught me that the iser nevela has the, good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld, that the iser nevela has the ability to devolve upon the chelev, mishum demetamyo. Because ultimately, we'll say, through nevela, there is the ability to convey tuma. Aval treifa imalo. But the isra of treifa to devolve upon the chelev, I would have thought not. So the Gemara says, v'yashmo inon treifa, mishum di isura mechayim. And if it would have just said treifa, I would have thought that again, the isra of treifa can devolve upon the chelev. Why? Because the isra of treifa is even while the animal is alive. To which the Gemara says, aval nevela imalo. But I would have thought that the isra of nevela does not devolve upon the animal. Therefore, again, tzricha, therefore both are necessary. The Rabbi Meir, hai treifa mai avile. So we'll say, what does Rabbi Meir do with this drasha of treifa that Rabbi Huda just used? So mi boile lemeute shchita shehi lifnim. So Rabbi Meir ultimately uses it to teach me that what? That the halacha is that if you did shchita on the oath inside the Beis HaMikdash, shechita inside the Beis HaMikdash, then what? Then they will say, even though, again, shechita on a bird inside the Beis HaMikdash is totally invalid, because there is no shechita by ofos for sacrificial purposes. Nevertheless, what? It is not metame beis habliya. Ultimately, again, that bird will not convey tumah. If you look at Rashi for just a moment, it's the third of the widest lines down. Rashi says, Rabbi Meir, hai, kra, yisiru de nevela. This additional pasuk, ultimately, again, of nevela, lo yocham ibayli lelami tumaso, she'enu matami ele kashiris. I'm sorry, actually, we're not up to that yet, I'm sorry. So Rabbi Meir says that this pasuk trefa teaches me that if you did shechita on a bird inside the Beis HaMikdash, the carcass does not convey tumah. Rabbi Yehuda, where does Rabbi Yehuda learn this out from? He says, trefa achrin aksiv. Not a problem. There's another, the Torah states trefa twice. One trefa is for the limud we just had before, and the second trefa is to teach you this halacha over here. Rabbi Meir will say, well, what do you do with the two trefas? Chad limi'utei shechita she'lifnim. One is to exclude the case of shechita of a bird inside the Beis HaMikdash, that the carcass does not convey tumah. V'chad limi'utei of tame. And I will say, the other one teaches me that what? That the carcass of a non-kosher bird does not convey tumah. Rabbi Yehuda, minevel and afkale, Rabbi Yehuda learns out that halacha, that the carcass of a non-kosher bird doesn't convey tumah. He learns that out from nevela. Rabbi Meir says, hi nevela, my avile. We'll say, what does Rabbi Meir do with this drasha of nevela? L'shir achila b'kezayis. So Rabbi Meir learns out from the Isra nevela, or I should say, excuse me, from the drasha, from the word nevela, that will say that the shir achila, that the, how do I know? So also we know that ultimately, again, if you go out and you ingest, if you look at Rashi, now you can look at that Rashi, three lines down in the wide lines, Rabbi Meir, kray yisir de nevela lo yochal, that extra phase of nevela lo yochal, don't eat the nevela, mi boile teaches me, lelame tum aso she'eno metame ele kishir isir achila, so dahinu kizayis. So we'll say, what we've established is that if you go ahead and you ingest an avela of a bird, that what's the halacha? It makes you tame. The shaila is what? How much bird do you have to eat in order for you to become tame? So Rabbi Meir says, from the phrase nevela, or from the word nevela, we learn out that what? It's a sheer kizayis. It's just like any other isr achila, which is asr b'kizayis. If you eat a kizayis of bird, that's when you become tame. Less than a kizayis, you won't become tame. So the Gemara says, "Ay v'seifok le mikra kamo." So why don't you learn that from the previous pasuk? Mid'afki rachmana b'lashon achila. So we'll say, since the Torah ultimately again uses the lashon achila as well, they're over there. Tishrei Meir says, "You're right." Teaches me two halachas. Chad l'shir achila b'kizayis. One pasuk teaches me that in order to become tame from the bird carcass, I have to eat a kizayis of it. V'chad l'shir achila. This is another very important halacha according to Rabbi Meir, which is that we'll say the halacha is when, in general, when it comes to isuri achila, there are two halachos in play. Number one is how much do you have to eat in order to be chayiv, and number two is how fast do you have to eat it. What do I mean by that? That the halacha recognizes if you eat something over a protracted period of time, it doesn't necessarily count as one act of eating. So for example, I will say, if I eat, just let's keep a simple case, if I eat a kizayis of chazer over 24 hours, the halacha says, that's not mitztarif. That does not combine ultimately to form one shir of achila to make me chayiv. In order to be chayiv, I will say, I feed a kizayis, but that kizayis has to be consumed within a specific time frame. Time frame that we normally use in halacha is what we call kizayis bichdei achilas pras. That I eat the kizayis in the amount of time that literally it would take me to eat a half a loaf. So again, what type of loaf? How we've had these discussions before. So just you know that shir in halacha is anywhere from, I mean, there's such a spectrum over here, from 2 minutes to 18 minutes. But the idea is you have to, so I'll say, by the way, where do these halachos come up in a very important way? This comes up by Yom Kippur a lot, that if a person has a heter to eat because of health circumstances, what we tell them often is, if possible, to spread out the eating over a prolonged period of time. When I say prolonged, meaning, let's say, over a certain number of minutes. This way, again, the individual smaller acts of eating are not mitzdarev. So Rabbi Meir therefore uses the two psukim, one to teach me kizayis, the other to teach me that it has to be a kizayis b'teyachi v'espras. Sagadayit chamina, because I would have thought as follows, ho'il v'chidishu, but say, since the whole concept of tuma b'beis abliyah, since the whole concept ultimately, again, that if you go ahead and you ingest something, that suddenly it conveys tumah. That's a chiddush in of itself. Then ultimately, again, I would say that even if you eat it longer than the time of achilas pras, it should still become. It should still make you tameh. Kamashlan also. We'll say kamashlan. And these are two very important halachas according to Rabbi Meir. Halacha number one is that in order for nevela to go ahead and convey tumah, you have to consume a kizayis, and the material will say what? It has to be consumed bichdei achilas pras. Within that halachically sanctioned time frame. Tan Rabbanon, the chil of nevela v'chil of treifa. So that's when the pasuk says chil of nevela v'chil of treifa ye'ase l'chom alacha v'achalo sochlu abos. So the Torah tells me that the chil of a nevela, which is an animal that dies without proper shechita, the chil of a treifa, an animal that dies because of some type of disease or some type of ailment. So the halacha is, I'm allowed to get hanoah from that chil of. I can use it for whatever I want. The only thing I can't do is what? I can't eat it. Everything else I can do with it, but I can't eat it. Says the Gemara, Bechelev behema tahora kasa mendaber. Torah is talking about the chelev of a kosher animal. So the Gemara says, Atomra chelev behema tahora kasa mendaber, you know, elev chelev behema tmeo. Maybe not. So we'll say, now the fact that I could use it, tells me what? Tells you what, Rabosai? That it's not tame. That's what it tells me. If it was tame, I couldn't have contact with it. The fact that I can use it tells me that it is not tame. So the Gemara says, what type of chilev are we talking about? What type of chilev is not tame? Chilev from a kosher animal. But chilev from a non-kosher animal will in fact what? Convey tumah. So the Gemara says, bechilev be'matvara kosa medaber. So the Torah is telling me that the bechilev of a kosher animal does not convey tumah. So we'll say first of the widest line on the bottom. Maybe not. How do you know it's the chilev of a kosher animal? Maybe it's something that the chilev of a non-kosher animal also doesn't convey tumah. So which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why it doesn't work. So the Gemara says, tiher michlal shchuta, v'tiher michlal chilev. So we'll say we're talking about such things that ultimately, again, if you look at Rashi, tiher michlal shchita, Tiher milatame mitam shchita shashchita matarasa. Well, so we're talking about things ultimately again. We're talking about things over here that become tar as a result of shchita, and therefore again, their chilev becomes tahar as well. Take a look at Rashi. V'tir mechlal chilev mitam chilev tiras hanavela milatame shekasav kan shechilev nevela tar. So we'll say ultimately again, there are things, there are categories in which shchita ultimately, again, are permitted, and therefore, or I should say, shchita is the permitter, and therefore, again, there are things ultimately which become tahor from tumas chelev. Ma kishetir michlal shchuta b'tahora v'lo b'tmeo, av kishetir michlal chelev b'tahora v'lo b'tmeo. So we'll say, just ultimately, again, as shchita permits certain types of animals, so too, again, we assume that which becomes permitted from tuma when it comes to nevela are the same type of items which are permitted as a result of shchita. Which tells you again, Abosai, that anything that can become permitted as a result of shchita ultimately can have chelev which doesn't convey tuma. What type of animal does this refer to? Only kosher animals. Okilecha l'derechzu, or maybe you'll go out and you'll look in a different direction. Tier mechlal nevela, v'tier mechlal chelev. So we'll say, ultimately, again, there are certain things which are removed from the category of nevela, and therefore perhaps they'll be removed from the category of chelev. Ma kishetier mechlal nevela b'tmeo v'lo b'tohora. So we'll say, just like again in general, so remember, as we said before, a behemoth tmeya does not convey tumas nevela. Why not? Because apparently, according to the limit of the Gemara, tumas nevela is a din in a kosher animal, right? But behemoth tmeya, which was already prohibited, does not become tummy with tumas nevela. So we'll say, I would have said as follows, just like nevela only applies to something which what? Which otherwise was permitted and now becomes prohibited. So ultimately, only a behemoth Torah not b'tmeya, af kishetir mechlal chelev, b'tmeya v'lo b'torah. So we'll say, maybe again, same idea. When something becomes, doesn't convey tumas chelev, when it doesn't have an iser chelev, maybe that's dafka also with a behemoth tameo and not a behemoth tahora. Amrit, so we'll say, therefore we say, omad beis, kishe baba derech zu, he betahora. So we'll say, Inachinami, you're right. Everything depends on how you make this limud. If you go in one direction, it tells you ultimately that it's talking about a behemah tahora. If you go in the other direction, he betmeah is talking about a behemah tmeah. So Talmud lomar trefa. Therefore, the pasuk says trefa. Mi sheyesh b'mina trefa. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk says trefa. And what does trefa teach me? It teaches me that a dafka applies to a case where, again, there is a trefa in that min. Or we'll say where the laws of trefa apply to that species of animal. Otsies hatmea. Therefore, again, I will go ahead and exclude the case of tmea. She'in b'mina trefa. Which I will say, ultimately, again, in the case of behemah tmea, so we'll say there is no categorization of trefa by a behemah tmea. Why is there no category of trefa, Rabbi Osai? Because trefa is a state which precludes you from eating an animal. If the animal ultimately, again, is already a behemah tmea, then its designation of trefa makes absolutely no difference. So, otiyas ha-tmea, she'in b'mina trefa, I will exclude the case from tmea. Excuse me, I will exclude the behemah tmea, the non-kosher species, because there's no such designation of trefa. V'lo otiyas ha-chaya she'ish b'mina trefa, ultimately, again, and I will not go and exclude the case of chaya, which I will say does ultimately, is subject to the laws of trefa. Chaya means a kosher chaya. So we'll say, so again, now again, the logical argument over here is a very simple idea that doesn't make any sense that there's a concept of trefa by an animal which is already prohibited. If the animal is prohibited, it's prohibited. Trefa is a state of also where the animal becomes prohibited. Therefore, by definition, only applies to a case where what? Where the animal is of a tahora state and then can become a tmeo. If it's already, excuse me, not a tmeo, a trefa. If it's already a behemoth tmeo, then by definition, there is no status of tmeo, sorry, of trefa, which can devolve upon it. So the Gemara says, Talmud lomar va'acholo sochlu, therefore the pasuk says you shall not eat it, mi shechel ba'asar ubisara mutar. Supposed to remember again, so the Torah says when it comes to the chalev, so remember the Torah says by the chalev nevela, the chalev trefa, you are not permitted to go ahead and consume it, but you are permitted to get use from it. So the Torah says you can't eat the chalev. What does that refer to? Mi shechel ba'asar ubisara mutar. Now the fact that the Torah tells you that I can't eat the chalev, Rabbi will say, what does that tell me? I can't eat the chalev, but what can I eat? What can I eat? I can go ahead and eat the basar. Yotza chaya shechel ba'ubisara mutar. Therefore, Rabbi will come to exclude the case where what of a chaya. Now we're coming to beforehand, we excluded the case of trefa. Now we're also excluding, tmeya. Now we're coming to exclude the case of chaya, where ultimately, again, both the chalev and the basar are mutar. Also remember, again, chaya is the interesting anomaly, where, again, if you have a kosher species of chaya, the chalev is not asr. The chalev is mutar as well. The isr chalev is only on behemoth. Good. So we'll say, so the Gemara says, Gemara is a little bit weiter. Amalei Rav Yaakov bar Abba l'Rava, elemiata. But using this, so we'll say, so therefore, just so you understand, the Gemara accepted the premise of what we said before, that namely, the pasuk of v'chelev nevela v'chelev trefa ye'asel l'chom halacha, that the Torah tells me that halacha l'maisa, I can get benefit from the chelev, so the chelev of a nevela, chelev of a trefa, I can use it, I can get hana from it, I just can't eat it. What type of animal are we referring to? So the Gemara now accepted the previous drash of b'chelev behema tahora akasav medaber. That in fact we are talking about what? The chelev from a kosher species of animals. So halacha l'maisa, that chelev ultimately again will be permitted for use, which tells me that what? It does not convey tumah. Does not convey tumah. Good. So we'll say now the Gemara goes right to Amrav Yochanan. Sorry, it's lost. Amir Yaakov bar Abba l'Rava. Elamiata, is that where I left off? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amir Yaakov bar Abba l'Rava. Elamiata, nevelas behema tohora hu dimitama. Nevelas behema tmea lo mitama. Rose says, says Rav Yaakov bar Abba to Rava, but based on what we just said, then what? The nevela of a behema tohora should convey to Mar. As well, say, based on the previous structure that we just made, nevelas behema tmea lo mitama. The nevela of a behema tmea should not convey to Mar. Amarle kama saba shibashto. So this is very interesting. So if Yaakov Abba says this to Rava, that I don't understand, based on what you just said, the nevela of a behemoth tahora should convey tumah, the nevela of a behemoth tahora should not convey tumah, To which Rabbah responds, how many old men have made a mistake about this? In other words, how many great Talmidei Chacham have become mistaken about this particular fact? Seifa asan l'nevelas of tamei. Ultimately, again, the Seifa, the end of that Braisa, will say, comes along in what? Comes along and teaches me about of tamei. If you look at Rashi, that says, diktani tir mechlal nevela, asan l'nevela, so of tamei, Rashi says, shetira akasam il'tam be'savliya. That will say, even when it comes to the nevela of an of tamei, the nevela of an of tamei does not convey tumah. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lo tir Rabbi Meir ela betmimah. So we'll say, now the Gemara jumps back for just a moment. Now we're jumping back to the Machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda in the Mishnah. So remember again, so now we went on a lot of different detours with this. Although again, I just want to point out, none of this was really a detour. All of this was a discussion in the Shita of Rabbi Huda. Because Rabbi Meir solidifies his Shita ultimately again in the Kal V'chomer in the Mishnah. It's Rabbi Huda's Shita that requires an incredible amount of additional explanation. So now the Gemara jumps back. Even Rabbi Yehud, even Rabbi Meir, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Loti Rabbi Meir, Ela B'Tmimin. Even Rabbi Meir only says his particular Shita by Tmimin. So what does that mean by Tmimin? Rabbi Meir, remember, what does Rabbi Meir hold? Rabbi Meir holds that if you do Malika, and it turns out that the animal, that the bird, is a Trefa, so we'll say, so what's Talacha? Rabbi Meir says that it does not convey Tumah. Ultimately, again, it's Tahar. It's Tahar. Even Rabbi Meir only says that, Rabbi say when the bird is a tamim. Now, what does tamim mean? It's not a reference to its midos, right? Tamim means over here that what? That it is an unblemished bird. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Loti Rabbi Meir, b'malikas trefa, ela b'tamimin, the shaykhu b'malika. So Rabbi say, if the bird is a tamim, that means that what? It's shaykh to malika. Or it's in the parsha of Malika. Now, the problem you have with this bird is what I will say, that you do Malika on it, you open it up, and it turns out that what? That it's a trefa. In that case, Rabbi Meir says, where the bird was shayich to Malika, you did Malika, turns out the bird is invalidated. Rabbi Meir holds that although it's sacrificially invalid, it will not convey tumah. It will not convey tumah. So the Gemara says, aval bebali mumin lo. But if the animal ultimately, again, was a bal mum, then Rabbi Meir will agree that the Malika is not only sacrificially invalid, but what? But the bird conveys Tumah itself. Rabbi Elazar Amrafilu Babali Mumin. Rabbi Elazar says no. He says no, that Rabbi Meir will say that Malika, in fact, goes ahead and prevents the animal from conveying Tumah, even if the animal itself, the bird itself, was a Baal Mum. Itmar Nami, I'm supposed to say, so a machlokes in the scope of Rabbi Meir Shita. When Rabbi Meir says that Malika turns out to be done on a trefa, so Rabbi Meir says that the carcass does not convey tumah, even though it's sacrificially invalid, what's the scope of that? Now, opinion number one says only if the bird is a tamim, if the bird was technically sacrificially originally valid. And the other opinion says, no, even if it was a balmum. Machlokes, Itmar Nami, I'm Rabbi Ibi, I'm Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Meir Babali Mumin. So we'll say Rabbi Amos says the name Rabbi Lazar that Rabbi Meir holds. Rabbi Meir was Metamer even Babali Mumin. Even if the bird was a Baal Mum, but you did Malika on it, as much as it is sacrificially invalid, nevertheless, what? It prevents the animal from transmitting Tumah. Bafilu Ba'ovzin V'Tarnagolin. We'll say this is amazing. This is true even if what? According to Rabbi Meir, even if you did Malika on geese and chickens. Now, geese and chickens are never sacrificially valid. Yet, Rabbi Meir has a very interesting sheet to look at Rashi. Afilu ba'avzim, Rashi says, delapidim mizbeachin, you can't offer geese on the mizbeach. Obavat sheyu kodshim bifnim, da trefa nami lochazia b'torna b'nei yona, v'tira ho'il umalika hachshir kodshim bifnim. So we'll say, this is amazing. This is actually a very dramatic shita. Rabbi Meir apparently holds that if you do malika on any type of bird animal, right, anything in the fowl family, right, in the bird family, inside the Beis HaMikdash with malika, then although it'll be sacrificially invalid, obviously, it will not convey tumas nevela. An incredible, incredible chiddush from Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that's the power of malika inside of the Beis HaMikdash. By Rabbi Yirmiyah. So Rabbi Yirmiyah asked the following shaila, a little bit of a different slant here. So we'll come back to the halacha lemaisa on the machlokes Rabbi Meir and Bihudan just a little bit. So by Rabbi Yirmiyah, araf is mahu. So we'll say, what happens if halacha lemaisa, you go ahead and you break the neck of a goat? So we'll say, this is about Egla Rufa. So by Egla Rufa, we'll remember again, you find the corpse in between two cities. So the elders of the closest city come out, they take a calf, they decapitate the calf by breaking its neck, and they do the whole process of washing their hands over. So we'll say, the Gemara asks as follows. What happens if they didn't use a calf? They made a mistake, and instead what do they use? They use a goat. They use a goat. So mahu. So we'll say, so now, what's the Gemara asking? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, so Rashi says, Rabbi Meir, mi amrina kechi dimitar malikas avzin kachim ifnim, holu malikas shum of bifnim, hu achanami arifas ash. So we'll say, listen to this interesting shayla. According to Rabbi Meir, who says that if you do malika, we'll say, now it turns out, if you do malika, forget about a treif, a bird. If you do malika on a chicken, or you do malika on a goose, inside the Beis Hamikdash, Rabbi Meir holds that what? That Allah says, as much as it's sacrificially invalid, it's not nevela, it doesn't convey tumah. According to that particular shita, what happens if you were to break the neck of a goat instead of a calf? Instead of a calf. So we'll say, even though it, obviously it's invalid for the service of Egla Rufa, got that, but what are we asking? What are we asking? Is it a nevela? Does it convey tumas nevela or not? So now this is dafka, a question according to Rabbi Meir. Because according to Rabbi Huda, we'll say, it does convey tumas nevela. Obviously, even the bird, which turns out to be a trefa, conveys tumas nevela. What we're asking over here is, according to Rabbi Meir, who holds that malika is enough to go out and be metar even geese or chickens. So again, about birds. So what happens if you break the neck of the goat? Wrong animal. I understand the service is invalid. What I'm asking over here is, I used the right mechanism for the wrong animal. Does that prevent tumas nevela from devolving upon now the decapitated goat? So says the Gemara. So araf eiz mahu avzin v'tarnagolin mai demina de'ofos ninu. So do I say, on one hand, maybe the reason why Rabbi Meir permitted malika, why Rabbi Meir says that the malika of chickens or of geese works, is at least why? Because they're in the bird fowl family. They're in the bird, I mean, all in the family. They're all the same, all in the same parsha. About is lav mina deglu. But here's the problem, is that a goat is not in the calf family. Right? A goat is not in the calf family. So maybe therefore, again, if you decapitate the goat, it's totally wrong family, and therefore what? It will become tamei v'tumas nevela. O dilma, mina de behemahu. Or maybe no, it is part of the same family. I will say, what family? What family? The behema family, the livestock family, the behema family, and that's enough. Yosef Rabdimi v'kamer lal hashmaita. So we'll say Rabdimi was sitting and saying over this particular idea. Amar la Abaye, Abaye said mechlal de egla arufa tahorihi. Interestingly enough, this discussion presupposes that what? That a regular egla arufa is in fact not a nevela. Nebo said, this is very interesting. What's the question that came up? The question that came up is whether or not, if you go ahead and instead of decapitating a calf, you decapitate a goat, so does the goat convey tumah or not? So we'll say, the question presupposes that when you do egla arufa in the right way, it does not convey tumas nevela. So the Gemara just says, that's intriguing. That's intriguing, meaning where do you know that from, that a regular egla rufa does not convey tumas nevela? Mechlal de egla rufa tohori. Amar le'in. Yes, that is correct. A regular, properly done egla rufa does not convey tumah. Amar de be rab yanai kaparek siv be kakachin. Because we'll say, ultimately, again, by egla rufa, the Torah uses the same notion of kapara as it does by kachim, as it does by other sacrificial items, teaching that just as other sacrificial items do not convey tumah, so to what? Egla arufa does not convey tumah. Therefore, I will say again, so if you do egla arufa in a normal way, it doesn't convey tumah, that we all know. So therefore, the shayla is, if you use the wrong animal, does that animal convey tumah or tumas nevela or not? And again, remember, dafka question in Shitas Rabbi Meir. Because Rabbi Meir is the one who advances this incredibly novel Shita, that even if you do malika on the totally wrong animal, as long as it's in the bird fowl family, it's sacrificially invalid, but it does not become, it doesn't convey to Mas Navela. So Master Rav Nasan, Avod Rav Huna, so Rav Nasan, the father of Huna, raised the kasha, Va'acha lo sachlu, so I'll say the Pasuk says, you shall not go ahead and consume it, so I'll say this is summa by Chelev. So we'll say, what this teaches me is as follows, that there is chelev that is asr ba'achila mutar ba'ana. So we'll say, we establish already what type of chelev does this apply to. This applies to the chelev of a kosher animal. The chelev of a kosher animal, we'll say, will be asr ba'achila mutar ba'ana. Chelev shal shara niskal The egla arufa minayin. So we'll say what that also tells me is as follows, which is that the chelev of a kosher animal, which cannot be eaten but is mutar b'ano, therefore what? Does not convey tumah. Does not convey tumah. How do I know? What about the chelev of a shar niskal? Well, remember, shar niskal is an animal that is stoned either because what? Either because it damaged someone or killed someone, or it was used for some type of immoral behavior. Shar niskal, egla rufa minayin. We'll say, how do I know that ultimately, again, that chelev will also not convey tumah? Look at Rashi, we'll say that Rashi's chelev shall shar niskal, egla rufa, sha'asra ba'na. So we'll say, remember again, the chelev of a shar niskal and the chelev of egla rufa is asra ba'na. Now we'll say, how do I know it's asra ba'na? Because the animal in its entirety is asra ba'na. How do I know that that chelev does not convey tumas nevela? Talmud lomar kol chelev. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk says kol chelev. Kol chelev, kol is the rabos, comes to include what? Even types of chelev rabosai, which comes from animals, which are going to be what? Which are going to be aser banda. So nevertheless, the chelev will still not convey tumas. Yibosai, from the previous drasha of kol chelev, teaches me that the chelev is aser ba'achila ba'mutar ba'na, and therefore again doesn't convey tumah. How do I know that even in cases where the chelev is going to be aser ba'na, it still won't convey tumah? Like by cases ultimately again of chelev of egla rufa and shahar niskal, the pasuk adds in a riboy bas, like kol chelev. All chelev, kol chelev, shor v'chelev, ev v'chelev, eiz lo so chelu. Kol chelev teaches me, I will say that what? That Allah Lamaise, even in cases where the chelev is aser ba'na, like shor haniskol, egla arufa, ultimately it does not convey tumah. V'isagdai t'cha egla arufa tahorahi. And if you want to say that ultimately again, egla arufa is tahor, does it convey tumah? So I will say, so in other words, if you want to say that egla arufa in general doesn't convey tumas nevela, so then he tahor v'chel batame. So I'll say ultimately again, would it make sense to say that the carcass would be tahar, but the chelev would be tahar? Why do I need an extra limud to teach me that the chelev of an egla arufa shouldn't be tameah? We'll say if at the end of the day, halacha lemaisa, the egla arufa itself is not tameh tumas navela, then would I think for a moment that its chelev would be aser by tumas, would be tameah? To which the Gemara says, you're right. In a normative case where you decapitate the calf in a normal way, just as the carcass does not convey tumas nadela, so too, of course, the chelev doesn't convey tumas nadela. So the lo itzrichale, ki itzrichale, we'll say, where do I need the limud? Listen to this. Hecha de mishkan shachat. We'll say, I'll tell you where it comes up. Let's say I made a mistake and I didn't decapitate the calf. Instead, what did I do? I shechted the calf. So the novelty of the Gemara is teaching me is that even in the case where I shechted the calf, not only, I will say, now obviously again, the carcass will not convey tumas nevela, but what else doesn't convey tumas, what else doesn't convey tumah? The chelev. Because I will say, even in the case where I didn't do the egla arufa service correctly, nevertheless, the chelev still won't convey tumah. I vitehani leshchita letara midei nevela. I will say that the shechita itself should be good enough to go ahead and what? Even though the shechita ultimately, again, does not work from a service perspective. In other words, I will say, to be clear, the shechita by egla rufa doesn't help in any way. It doesn't permit the animal for consumption, nor does it actually work for the avoda itself. But at least it should be good enough to go ahead and prevent there from being. From Renzer for being a Tumas Navela. So the Gemara says, Hecha de Shachat Mishchat, the Tarn of the Shchita, the Tarn of the Navela, Lo Tzricha Shemesa. So ultimately, again, I will say, what's the case over here? The case is, no, where the animal ultimately died on its own. To which the Gemara says, Michlal, the Michayim Asura. But now, the interesting part of this is that I could infer from that halacha lemaisa, while the animal is still alive, it is in fact still asur. Look at Rashi, Michlal de Michayim Asura, Va'afa Pishlo Nerfa. Even before the animal is decapitated, it appears that the egla rufa is going to be asur. Midiktani chelev egla rufa minayin v'okimta b'shemisa. To which the Gemara says, in, you're right, even when the egla rufa, we'll say, the isr egla rufa, or the isr that devolves upon the egla rufa, does not begin when the animal is slaughtered. In fact, when does it begin, Rabbi Osai? It begins, Amar Rabbi Yanai, Givul Shamati V'Shachachti. I once heard, when does the Egla Rufa become Asr? I heard it and then I forgot it. V'Naspin Chavar Yolameimar, Yeridas Alenachal Eson, Hiosarta.
And I learned to say, when does the Egla Rufa become Aser? In fact, I will say, amazingly enough, the Egla Rufa becomes Aser when? When it's taken down to the Nachal Isan. When it's initially taken down, ultimately, again, to the dry riverbed over which it is decapitated, that's when the Egla Rufa becomes Aser. So we'll say, let's just close out this sugya. So how do we paskin in the Machlokis Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir regarding if you do Malika? Because again, remember, this was really the springboard for our entire conversation. So how do we paskin Halacha Lemaisa in the Machlokis Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir regarding if you do Malika? If you do Malika, and it turns out that the animal is, the bird is a trefa. So I'll say, so the Rambam in Parak Zayin of Chilchos Psulei HaMekdash Halacha Gimel says as follows. Lefichach, hamolek v'nimseis trefa. We'll say, if a person does Malika, and it turns out that the bird is a trefa, or shemalak besakin, or you go ahead and you do Malika with a knife, o shemalak chulin bifnim v'kachim b'chutz, hare zu nevela l'chol davar. She'in hamalika materas u'metaheres, ela davar shukashlam zech. So we'll say, bottom line is, we paskin like Rabbi Huda. Namely, that Malika only works when? Malika only works, or say differently, Malika only works to go ahead and remove tumas nevela when the bird was technically sacrificially valid, and there was some type of other issue which caused the invalidation. But if the bird itself was sacrificially invalid, like in the case ultimately where it turns out to be a trefa, so the malika ultimately not only doesn't help sacrificially, but doesn't help tuma wise either, and the bird will in fact convey tuma. Halacha lemaisa, we pass like Rabbi Huda. When it turns out she's do malika and the animal, the bird is a trefa, halacha lemaisa, it goes in and conveys tuma. Which we'll say is very important, which again tells me the principle. The principle is that malika can help to take away tumas nadela, even in situations where the sacrifice itself is invalid, as long as what? It has to be that the bird itself is sacrificially valid. It's just that what? Yeah, I messed something up in some of the details of Malika, then, or some other sacrificial detail. Then, although it is sacrificially invalid, ultimately, again, it will not convey tumas nevela. But if the bird itself is inherently sacrificially invalid, then not only is it sacrificially invalid, but what? It will, in fact, convey tumas nevela. Shkach, I will say, Hadrin Allah chata sa'of. Mazel tov, shkach. I'll have to record the Parsha Shir right after davening in Yiratz Hashem. Shkach. I'm going to follow you.